It is Jesus, you and your love for me, your grace poured out towards me that I might just reach out and say, please forgive me, please save me. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for loving us enough to send your Son. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Be seated. Well, isn't it somehow all these things kind of tie together, huh? The children's verse was not planned along with the service. It just kind of worked out that way, you know. Seems like there's some Holy Spirit somewhere that's doing something or other. I don't know. You think? I think so. Absolutely. Peace, plowshares, and swords. Where we're going to be in Micah chapter 4. So turn in your Bibles, taking you into the Old Testament. Not there so much. I'm going to plan on going more to the Old Testament this year. We need to get refreshed and reminded of some of the truths in the Old Testament there. Well, we had this past week the funeral for our dear brother, Julius Nagy, and blessed homegoing, and that's what it was. Amen? He went home to be with Jesus. One of the things that came out there at that service, the pastor said something about love today, forgive today, care about the people around you today, because we don't have tomorrow promised to us, do we? We don't. And we're not. And peace, make peace today. Today needs to be a time for peace for us today, you know? Julia shared with me, I didn't get a chance to share this at the funeral service, but when I visited him the week before he passed, we were just chatting about his war time, and just his life, just talking. You know, Julius was going to talk. And just as a Julius-ism, he'd always say, how do you say, right? He'd always say, he's going to say something, he'd say, how do you say, and he would go and say what he was going to say. He always knew what he was going to say and how he was going to say it, but he would always say, how do you say? I love that about him. Well, he said when his first wife died back in the late 90s, he said, I prayed a prayer. How do you say, Lord, give me the strength to know you better? I'm like, wow, what a profound prayer. That's one of those today, because I'm not promised tomorrow. God, I want to know you better today. Our verse today talks about the last day, the last days. How many know when the last days are? We're in them. Hebrews chapter 1 says, in these last days, and he's talking about now. So if you're waiting for the last days to come sometime, they're here. Of course, there's some different connotations to the last days, and we understand that. But yeah, it was pretty clear that last days started now. And in these last days, God has a desire for peace. So let's stand together. I'm just going to read this verse for you. My week was one of those, oh, this was not how I planned it, weeks. And of course, being gone at man camp, I didn't have my Saturday to get caught up from my crazy week. So you're not going to have anything on the screen. You guys okay with that? We'll survive? I think people did that for like, I don't know, thousands of years, so I think we'll manage. Micah chapter 4. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains, It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Lord, that would be such a wonderful thing. This is your desire. This is your desire. And I get the sense, Lord, that this falls on us to be doing the beating of swords and spears. We want to see this around the world. We want to see this in our own nation. But Lord, I think there's something that has to start right here in our hearts. So would you teach us about peace today? In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Yeah, you may be seated. Thank you. I'm preaching Billy style today. See that, Brother Billy? That's how Billy preaches. He scribbles and prays and writes and this is his. I look at his notes and I'm like, my brain would be like all over the place. But you know what? When you pray it through, God just knows what you need here. The last days, it says, the Lord's temple will be established and people will stream there. They'll want to come there. There'll be lots of people streaming there. Do we have a sense of the temple in the New Testament times? What's the temple? Yeah, Joe's back here saying, "Yep, right here, my all sewed up heart that went through heart operations." Yeah, I'll got some verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say, Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Don't you know that? Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 2, 5. You also, as living stones, all of us here, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. That's all of us together, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. There is a temple that we can think about in this day and age, and that is us, the people of God. Now, of course, he was talking about a physical temple and a future physical temple, but there is a spiritual temple as well. When Jesus is lifted up in that temple, what happens? When worship happens in this temple, people are drawn to that. They are drawn to us because of Jesus, not because of me, but because of Jesus, right? But did you know that God wants more than a gathering of people in a place? He wants more than sacrifices that are outward and visible. He wants more than just church. He wants more than a worship service. This verse in verse 2 says, many nations will come and say, let's go up to the mountain, to the house of God. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his truth. God wants us to be a people gathered, drawing near to him, to learn of his ways, to learn about him, to become a different people, so that we begin to walk in his ways. We begin to be those little Christians, those little Christs that the word Christian actually speaks of. We begin to be followers of Jesus, not just acknowledgers, not just knowers of Jesus, knowing about him, but followers of him. That's what his desire. He wants us to draw near that we might walk in his paths. That's the transformed heart. You know how the transformation happens? It happens when we enter the very presence of Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God. That's where transformation happens. You know, you can come and visit me and we can talk about the Bible and Jesus all day long. But I'm not enough to impress you to change your life. I'm not. But when you come into the very presence of God, that's a life-changing thing. That's when we are transformed, when we say, God, you're real. And you've invited me into your presence. And in all of my sin and stuff and junk, you've said, I'm still welcoming you in. And I have, as our children's verse said, I have forgiveness for you. And it's not going to be by your works. It's not going to be by your smarts. It's not going to be by your how wonderful of a person you are. It is by grace. I offer it to you, and you can receive it. That's when the transformation happens. We are humbled by our great need, and we are exalted and elated because of God's great love for us. Now, sometimes we can mix up things. Thank you, whoever brought this. We can mix things up. We're in the midst of a season where oftentimes, what do people do for Lent? They give things up, right? Is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? Oh, I heard it could be. Well, if we think that because I am giving up a food or an activity, that in and of itself, that is somehow going to do something to change me, it's really not. It's really not going to change who I am. It's when we add to that fast relationship. When I add to that, I'm going to, as I've been sharing with people, I'm going to give up the news completely. I have no idea what's going on in the world right now. Zero. I really don't have a clue. But if that's all I do, then guess what? When the fast is done, I'll go back to being the same person I was still, because I have an added relationship. But when I come to that place and I said, you know what? I need to just step back from that. And I began to replace the time that I spent on that in prayer. I'm reading the biography of Martin Luther, inspiring story. I'm spending more time in the Word than I was before. I'm spending more time in worship. I'm listening to preachers that encourage me. I'm realizing, do you know how much time I have been wasting on the news? Hours a week. It's when I add relationship to my fast, now I become a changed person. I honestly believe God had done a work in me and brought me to a deeper sense of joy this past year, but I had hit a wall. And I think that for me to move forward, there was something more that needed to be done. Because it's not all God. We do have to respond by faith and obedience. And I believe this was what God was needing from me. He says, I've got much, much more for you, but you're going to need to do something different in order to receive it from me. And so whether it's a fast, it's of no value unless there is a relationship with God. And in church, it's of no value if you're not coming, desiring to listen and be in relationship with God. Reading your Bible, don't stress, but it's of no value if all you're seeking to do is check it off a list without a faith relationship, a desire to know Him, the one who wrote this. It's of no value. Serving others, run the list on. And peace. If we're seeking peace outside of this relationship with God, outside of the peace that He's offered to us, you won't find a peace for yourself and you won't find a peace for others, because until we find the peace that is in Christ, we really don't have peace. We simply have something that we might call peace, but in our heart of hearts, we don't have that peace. What's peace? It is a calm that is without conflict. It is also a calm in the midst of conflict. It is a, God, you got this. Peace. Peace is something that just seems lost to us and our nation, doesn't it? Does it seem like we just have no clue how to have peace within ourselves and with others? And that's, I've got two things. Peace without, or peace with those around us. We seem to be in constant conflict as a nation. Just constant conflict. Nobody is calm about differences. We have to argue about it. We have to protest about it. We have to declare that, you know, I'm a victim and you're the oppressor, or vice versa. We don't know how to have peace without, with others, in the midst of conflicts. And that brings us to a place where we don't have peace within. We don't have a peace within. We try to be a peacemaker. How many people know how good that works, being a peacemaker? It don't work, because I can't control the other person. All I can control is me, right? And Scripture does call us to be a peace. Well, I'm sorry, I got those backwards, didn't I? Billy, you should correct me when I'm preaching on this stuff wrong. We can't be a peacekeeper. Forgive me. I'm still in man camp, I think. Overdose on cholesterol. It's affecting the brain. It's no, it's not. The bacon's good for you. No, we try to be peacemakers, and we really can't. But we can be peacekeepers. We cannot. Come on, help me out. Give me some encouragement, brother. We try to be peacemakers. We cannot. Why do I not get that right? We try to be peacekeepers. We can't, because we can't keep the peace for somebody else. But we can make peace, can't we? There. Did I make that as clear as mud? Gosh. That's pretty sad. I better just move on. You get the idea, right? I feel like I'm going to say it wrong again. You know what? What that results in is a people without peace. I just did a quick look up. The World Health Organization reports that in the last 45 years, suicide rates have increased by, anyone want to guess worldwide how much they've gone up? 30, I've heard. Nope. 60, I heard. 60% worldwide. 60% suicide rate increase. Well, not in our country, because the U.S. has got everything. We've got everything down. On average, the U.S. suicide rate between 1999 and 2014 increased by 24%. We are a people without peace within. We don't have peace within. And we need peace, and God offers us peace. That's our sermon today: peace, plowshares, and swords, right? We need peace. We need peace. Plowshares. How do we get to plowshares? The verse here in verse 3 says that God, He, will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. Who's going to do the judging? God. He's the one that Scripture says will settle disputes. Are you able to fix things between us and North Korea? You got an in with the leaders in China on how to? Yeah, me neither. God does the judging, but then what does it say about the swords being beaten into plowshares? Who does it say does that? Yeah, it says they. They will beat their swords into plowshares. They will beat their spears into pruning hooks. But that's us. We're the ones that have to walk in that, right? What is swords and spears used for? War. For power, for control. Can it be used for good? Yes. But they're used to control and to dominate for power. What are plows used for? What's that? Breaking up ground for, what are we breaking up ground for? Planting. What do we plant things for? To grow things. Why do we grow things? Yeah, for our eating. Does a farmer that's got 150 acres eat all of that food? No. He sells it. The whole purpose of plowshares and pruning hooks is for the blessing of others and ourselves. It's for providing for others. It's for serving those around us. It's to build, it's to support and feed our communities. Does a farmer want to make money? Sure. Why does he want to make money? Feed his family. Exactly. But does he want to bless his neighbor? Of course he does. It's his neighbors. It says there will be no more training for war or conflict. Turning our swords into plowshares. What are our swords? You know, as Christians, we get upset. We get upset about sometimes the direction of our world, the way things are going, whether it be the things we get passionate about, the culture of death, whether it's abortion or euthanasia. People get passionate about that. They get angry about the violence that goes on around us. They get upset about the moral drift that people's, they just live however they want to live, about people's unwillingness to trust and walk in God's word. Biblical marriage, that whole conversation, people get passionate on both sides of the issues, don't they? Too many of us, the body, are looking for to use the sword. And I say that, you know what the sword is? Our government. That's what I'm going to use to get things the way I think they should be. We want a president to turn things around. We want our senator. We want our, because if we would just follow the Constitution, then everything would be as it should, right? There's a little problem in that. There's a little fly in that ointment. You know what it is? You and me is the problem. We have a sin nature that takes even the best of governments, and I love my country, but without, if Christ is not in the middle of it, it will fail. It absolutely will fail. What's the solution? The problem that we have is not, I need a better government. The problem that we have is that we have an unsalty church. We have a dim church, and when the church has lost its saltiness, it's the savor that it adds Christ into the world around us, then, you know, we stop adding the flavor of God's word. When it starts to get dark, because the church has just gotten dimmer and dimmer and dimmer through the years. What's the solution? It's a return to God and a return to joy. It is a return to that place where I found that without you, God, I am lost. There was a time sitting in my car with my then girlfriend, Terry, after a church revival service, that I finally realized that God knew me and all of my crummy, bad attitudes and hidden sins, and he loved me still. And I recognized how desperately I needed his grace and his forgiveness and his mercy. That's what we need to return to, that place of saying, I've got to have more of you in my life. I've got to have more Jesus of you. I've got to pray, actually pray more. I've got to stop just talking about praying and saying, yep, we need to pray, and actually pray. Because without it, I don't know where this country's going. Do you think that our government truly is going to be the solution? And this whole fasting from the news, that was a conviction on my heart that if I was really as interested in God moving, and I spent as much time seeking after God as I did trying to figure out what was going on in the government and the news and all that stuff, that's where the solution is. Love, that is an action that actually is loving people and doing things and a witness in the world, where I'm actually out there talking to people about the great gospel, the good news that there is a Savior that who was God the Son, came to be the Son of God and die for the sins of all mankind. And no matter how wretched and wrecked your life is, that there is hope for you. And you don't have to commit suicide. You don't have to go chasing after some different way of living your life, whether you're trying to change who you are or your sexual orientation or get a new relationship or get the latest and greatest, whatever, fill in the blank. It's not going to be what satisfies us. It's not going to be what the world needs. They need to know that there's something more. So, peace, plowshares, swords. The things that we need to do are, I'm going to leave you three things for you to consider. Three of these to take with you. To say, if I'm going to be that person of peace that brings peace to my world, that brings peace to this relationship, that brings peace to my school, that brings peace to my marriage, that brings peace to my neighbors. Three things. God, would you have me to first love? When there's conflict, when there's need for peace, love first. Love them. Not just acknowledge that, yes, God, you love them and I love them, but love them. Why do we love them? 1 John 4:19 says it all. We love because he first loved us. It's wonderful to hear that echo it out over the congregation because we know it. We know it, don't we? We love because, yeah, we love because he first loved us. Let's say that one more time because it sounds so good. We love because
he first loved us.
Not because they're wonderful, not because I'm wonderful, because Jesus, you are so wonderful. I point to the cross. I'm not pointing to Becky and Abdul up there. Because Jesus, you're wonderful. Care about their situation. What's going on? Are you okay? I love you. There's a conflict here. There's a need for peace. Care about them. Care about their situation first. And care what they care about. You may be on completely different sides of a political fence or a relational fence or the way you look at, I don't know, a new movie that came out. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Care about what they care about. Care about them. They feel passionately about something. Care about that. And try to want to understand them. That leads me to the second thing for you to think about. First, love them. Second, what do you think that might be? I heard it. Listen. Yeah. Listen to them. Care enough about, I love you. Now, listen. A couple of verses are pretty clear. Proverbs has a couple of things to share about that. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. So if you're quick to answer without listening to that person and trying to understand where they're at, it's folly. How about this one? Another Proverbs 18. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only expressing his opinion. Isn't that our world today? Nobody wants to listen. They just want to go on Facebook and Twitter and go blah, 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 blah. They all want to talk about what I think. But how many people say, I rarely post stuff. On the rare occasion that I post controversial things on Facebook, I always put a note in there. If you want to talk to me about this, call me or message me in a private message, and we'll have a conversation. But I will not do a back and forth on Facebook. I just will not. I will delete it before I do that. I say, if you want to talk to me about it, let's have a conversation, you and me, and we'll talk about it. I want to listen. Well, James says it real clearly this way. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to anger. Be quick to listen. Real simple. Listen. Listen not just to say I let you talk while I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. That's not listening. This is my marriage counseling 101 to my new people that are getting married. Listening means they share what they're saying, and then I say, okay, so what I'm hearing then is you believe this and think and feel this. Is that what I'm hearing? And the other person says, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. And then you say, well, say it again so that I can understand you. Or you say, well, this is what I'm hearing, blah, blah, A, B, C. And they say, yes. Yes, that is what I'm saying. And you know what happened just then? They found out that you really did listen. And now you understand where they're coming from. You know how much that matters? Just to know that the person heard you and listened and cared enough about you to listen. Listening. Listen. Love them, listen. And the third one is after you've listened, be prepared to share. How do we share? I'm in 1 Peter 3:15. You've heard me say this quite a bit. Learn, be prepared to share and have an answer. Now, it starts off there in verse 13. It says, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what doing what is right, you are blessed. Don't fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Know that you have to be prepared to suffer. Even if you have an opinion, even if you're sure that it's right, you may end up paying a price for it. And that's okay. God says, God's word says that's a real possibility. But then verse 15 says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. God, I'm doing this for you. Everything I do is for you. And be prepared always to give an answer for the hope that you have. How do we prepare to give an answer? How do we prepare to give an answer that is well thought out and from God? Well, that helps us to listen, but how do I know what to respond? Stay in the Word of God. And when I read, say, Lord, show me. I want to listen. I want to hear from you as I'm reading. Not just read. Take time to read and say, what do you have? What are you teaching me? Be in the Word. Well, how else? You got a situation. Pray. It's like one of those, it can't be that simple answers. Yeah. Pray. Bring it to God. Talk to Him. Listen. The same way you listen to the person, listen to God. Lord, what are you saying to me? Because God will speak to you if you're willing to listen. Pray. Talk to God in His Word. And then it says, always be prepared to give a hope for the that you have. But do this with what? Two words. Gentleness, respect. Gentleness and respect. We need to be a gentle people. We need to be gentle in our words, in our actions. And we need to be respectful, which means I consider the needs of the other person, and I want to do this in a way that is honoring not only to God, to that person, but to that person as well. And then it says, be prepared to keep a clean slate. Make sure that if somebody gets upset with you, they're doing it because of the message of Christ, not because of how we shared, right? That's what the rest of it goes. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So you've got three things. I'm going to ask the worship team to come as we close. Conflict. Love them first. Secondly, listen. Be willing to listen and hear. And third, speak with gentleness and respect. Take a moment as we just prepare to worship and say, Lord, are there any of these that you need me to start walking in more deeply? And ask Him to do that. If you want to take some time at the altar, you're welcome to do that. I will be here to pray with anyone that is just feeling like